Well, hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. We have Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus, as we do every Wednesday. Mike, what is shaking, my man?
Not much. Excited to be back on. I'm looking forward to this three-game stretch. It's pretty exciting down the stretch here in terms of games.
It really is. Yesterday I did power ranks, and I kind of analyzed the next three games for all the top teams, all the relevant teams. And I guess before we get started on that, first off, I want to tell people we're brought to you by Draft. I'll tell you more about them in a moment. I got all kinds of flack for keeping the Patriots at number one in my power ranks. And I said yesterday, I'm like, I don't want to put them here. I don't know who's better, though. Who's number one?
No, it's really seemed like a fluky game on Monday night. It was without, you know, you're without Gronk. You're without your best offensive weapon. Offense stalls. I mean... We've seen that defense have some busted coverages and have some issues in the past. We thought that was cleaned up. Obviously, it can still rear its ugly head, but there's no reason to think that, you know, a Bill Belichick coach team won't recover from something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, watching that game, Brady didn't play well. And
oh, not at all.
Not at all. You know, and Cooks couldn't get open, and Hogan looked like he was still hurt or couldn't, you know, rusty or whatever cliche you want to use. And like you said, no Gronk. Brady's thrown an interception now in, what, four straight games, and he's been nursing an injury, and he is older, and he's taken a lot of hits, and he certainly doesn't like getting hit, and Sue is all over him. But it's not, I still put him one. You know, like, I mean, I'm still not that worried.
Yeah, it comes down to who, what argument are you going to make against them? You know, who are you going to put over them? Yeah, if Carson Wentz was healthy, I could make an argument for the Eagles, but I'm not going to make an argument for the Steelers right now the way they've played.
No, I mean, I had the Steelers at five, and a couple people actually on Twitter were giving me a hard time saying, wow, you're really hard on the Steelers. NFL.com and ESPN both have the Steelers at one. I'm like, did you watch their defense? Awful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have serious issues without, you know, Hayden, Shazier, all those guys now.
Absolutely. So that leads us, obviously, to the game of the week, which is Patriots-Steelers. I wanted to get some of your takes on it, things to look for. I've been analyzing it to no end on Steelers Nation Radio, as you can imagine, going back for the last 6 months, really. And it's interesting because I could see this game being 60-70.
I hope it is. That would be a great game to watch. Yeah. I do think it'll be high scoring. I think the way the Steelers offense is right now, the Patriots are just going to have some issues stopping it because they can beat you in a number of ways. And in the same other side of the coin, the way the Steelers defense has been, they just cannot get their zones. You know, they just bust so many coverages. They can't get that communication down with all these backups in the game. And then all of a sudden you're busting coverage against Tom Brady. He's going to take advantage of it all day long. So I can't make heads or tails of who's going to win. If I had to bet, I'd say the Patriots, but I do think it'll be a close game at least.
It's funny because during Steeler games, a lot of my high school buds will text me, and it was this big thread that my phone blows up the whole time. And at the end of the game, I'm like, the Patriots should be favored by 10. You know, I mean, in Pittsburgh, Brady's going to put up 70. And then you watch him on Monday night, though, and, you know, there are chinks in the Patriots' armor.
Yeah, that was just very...
They never played well in Miami.
Uncharacteristic. It was just misses. You know, it was the weirdest thing about Brady. He will make bad decisions from time to time. He's not, you know, impeccable in that regard. And some of them were just perfect coverages by, you know, Xavier Howard. But the misses were so unlike him, just crossing routes, waving on him. It just seemed out of the norm from what we've seen from him all year long. So I'm not too worried about it long term, but. Happens again this week, I might start to get worried.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, one-time thing. For some reason, they never play well in Miami. It makes no sense to me either. The one thing that I think the Steelers' saving grace is when the Patriots have the ball is interior pressure. You know, the Steelers' edge pass rush has been really poor, but the Hayward-Tuitt combination could do a Namakong Sue impersonation.
Yeah, do they bring in James Harrison too? Is this one of the games they let him play here?
He played last week. He played 9 snaps last week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, is this one, I think they're just saving him for, it seems like, the big games that actually mean something in terms of division and maybe playoff standings, and this one would definitely mean something in terms of playoff standings. So
you would think
they give him a little more.
Nobody knows. Nobody has a feel of why they're handling it the way they are. He's upset about it. You know, he publicly said, I wouldn't have come back if this was the way I knew things were going to go. You know, I mean, he's really loyal to this organization. And, I mean, we watched 9 snaps. He looked old and slow, but so did the whole defense. I don't know. But I do think they might be able to get in Brady's face interior pressure, you know, like Sue did. Anything else on this game that stands out matchup-wise? If you're Belichick, are you more concerned with Bell or Brown? You know how he likes to take a thing away.
I think you're definitely more concerned with Brown. I don't think you worry too much about, just from where the Steelers' running game has been, it seems like that offense goes when the passing game goes. Like that, just in terms of points-wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bell. You'll let Bell go for 150 if it means that Roethlisberger is going to go for 200 and no TDs. So I do think you focus on the passing game. The one I'd be watching it is Brandon Cooks, just because I feel like he's similar to the Patriots in that they come and go with Brandon Cooks. If he's getting shut down, which he can easily, which is such the weird thing that they it boggled my mind that they traded a first rounder for him. And I think they might be having some buyer's remorse because he's very dependent on the corner he's going against. He needs that corner. He needs that, multiple steps of separation. He needs a slower cornerback to be guarding him to get open. And so he'll disappear for games. And like he did against Miami when Xavier Howard was on him, he just disappeared because he couldn't get that step. So that'll be interesting for me to watch in this one for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point because you can bang him around a fair amount too. And the Steelers certainly are allowing a lot of big plays too. I mean, if he does get free, this is a secondary that might allow for it. Last note on that, and I'm not sure if you have the numbers ahead in front of you or not, but I was really critical, concerned about Roethlisberger for much of the year that maybe the end is near. And I have to say, since halftime of the Colts game, which is like 4 or 5 weeks ago, that's the game they came off their bye, he's been outstanding. I mean, do you know if the Pro Football Focus numbers are really in his favor too?
Yeah, he's been grading out really well. I think he's, over the last 4 weeks, the second highest graded quarterback in the NFL behind only Phillip Rivers. So it's been night and day from early in the season where, like you said, people were saying, is he going to retire? Is this it for him? Because he wasn't. He was grading out as a below average quarterback for us, really stalling that offense. And now he's just the accuracy on that deep ball has come back in a big way. It just seems like he's putting it in much better positions for Antonio Brown to go up and get it. So yeah, Roethlisberger, his game's turned around in the last handful of weeks.
Cool. I mentioned that we are brought to you by Draft. I want to tell you a little bit about them. Every Wednesday is Draft Day on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can build drafts and have the listener play with us. You know, a lot of the hosts are doing that. I need to get on that myself. Our promo code will save all of you $3. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And really, it's a combination of daily fantasy and with the fun of still having a draft every week. It's a snake draft like you do with your buddies. So fantasy football fans, you need to listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes. And they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for this week and get on that immediately. The best part is you play for cold hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than in salary cap leagues. All new players get a free entry into the real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL, as in Locked On NFL. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you're loving it that they're even offering listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com. Come there, play free right now with our promo code LONFL. So before we went on the air, Mike mentioned that he is profiling what he called 8 breakout players, and with the intent of, are these guys good and they're going to keep it up? So give us some names. Give us a name.
So the first name, obviously, that we've talked about before on the show is Case Keenum. I think everyone's sort of, he came out of nowhere. I don't think anyone even came close to thinking he'd be as good as he is. He's grading out as a top 10 quarterback at PFF. And I will say there are metrics to support the fact that this might not be just a fluke. is all his what he does under pressure to me is the one thing I'll point to say he might not be a fluke, because he has the fourth best completion percentage in the NFL when facing pressure, and is converting sacks converting pressure to sacks at the second lowest rate in the NFL, which both are very, you know, elite franchise quarterbacks tend to be good at both of those things, I'll say.
They're good indicators that it's not a joke.
Yes.
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 I'm with
Poise
you.
Poise under pressure, yeah.
As a free agent and with two other free agents on that team, I'm real curious how that not only shakes out for the Vikings, but who offers Keenum what as a starter? I mean, maybe he's...
I agree, yeah.
And maybe he's gotten to the point in his career where he's just gotten better. You know, he's just matured and got out of... You know, we noticed Jared Goff got better when he left Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, everyone seems to. But I will say, what he's put on tape over this stretch is more and better than Mike Glennon, Brock Osweiler, guys who have gotten starter money deals. So I do expect him to get something in the neighborhood of that, you know, 17 to 18 million plus a year.
Wow.
I don't know how many years, but I just, when you look at that, you know, comparatively, I would not be surprised.
Wow. It's big money. Who do you got next?
Up next, I had Nelson Agholor.
The
former first rounder was atrocious his first 2 years in the league. He averaged last year the lowest yards per route of any receiver. And this one's interesting because I think it's solely due to the fact that he's moved to the slot this year. He's running 85% of his routes in the slot. He was a guy who he could not get off press coverage his first 2 years. He still really can't. I've seen him get pressed in the slot by slot corners and not be able to get off it, which is not encouraging. But when he gets a free release, when he gets the ball in space, he is dynamic. So it's kind of he's a weapon, but he's not ever going to be the weapon that you drafted in the first round. He's never going to live up to that hype, I'll say.
Okay, I think that's well said, because things I said about him before were he's not obviously not a physical player. He's not all that strong. He can get banged around, especially at the line of scrimmage, and he doesn't have elite quickness to make up for that. I mean, he's quick, but he's not Antonio Brown, you know what I mean? And therefore, they kind of cancel each other out. Who else we got?
One that was kind of just because he was so bad last year and has turned around so much, Todd Gurley, running back for the Rams. It's hard to overstate how bad he was a season ago. Like, he was even with a bad offensive line, uncreative play calling, his vision was terrible. Like,
a lot was his fault.
Yes, like a lot of it was on him. At the same time, there are times this year when he has runs between the tackles where that shows up. But I think the offense has done a much better job of just utilizing his skill set, which is when he's in space, he's one of maybe a top five in terms of dynamic running backs in space, breaking tackles, outrunning guys. He just can do it all. And they've just done a much better job of utilizing that skill set and not asking him to, you know, run inside zone every single play and run between the tackles, where his vision's not great, but I think it is better this year, and that's helped that the offensive line's gotten better. But I do think that with a better utilization, he's never going to go back to that guy we saw a season ago. So I think this is more indicative of who he really is.
I agree on that one too. And to take it a step further, his usage as a receiver is absolutely key, because I don't think that's going away. They scheme it up well. He doesn't have to be an elite route runner, and he's still very effective in that phase.
Yes, yeah, 100% agree on that. So, all right, let's see who else I had. I had Jason Kelce, who was the center for the Philadelphia Eagles, who at one point we had him on our all-pro team at PFF. I think it was back in 2013, had dropped off a little. And then last year, like, they were talking about cutting him because he was so bad in terms of what he was. It was a liability in pass protection as a center, which is rarely the case. Center is probably one of the least important pass protection positions on the offensive line, and he was not making up for it in the running game. Some people were upset that they didn't cut him this past offseason. Now he looks like that all-pro again. Not really an explanation for it. I don't. Maybe injuries. Maybe he was hampering something. I don't know. But he has been lights out this season. He has had some of the best, just in terms of what I see from grading, had some of the best games and most impressive games, make some of the most impressive blocks. He can do things as a center that no one else can because of his mobility in the screen game and pulling to the edge. So I think this is who he was all his career. Like, I don't think this is a fluke by any means, but I think last year was more the fluke at this point, and he's really anchoring that line this year.
Yeah, and being around teams, sometimes they know that, boy, Jason was dealing with a really bad ankle all year and nobody knew about it. You know, like, you walk around that facility every day and you look at these guys and like, man, he's in a lot worse shape than the media realizes. Or, you know, that, boy, he's toughing it out. And if there is only one blip on the radar in his career, that's often the case that people don't realize. Or he's dealing with something off the field. I mean, they're people, you know, like, who knows what's going on? You know, like, maybe his head's not totally in it. But movement's always the nature of his game. I mean, he's a smaller, highly, highly athletic center.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's back to his best for sure. So, and another one along the offensive line that I had, the last offensive player, was Darrell Williams, the tackle from Carolina, which is interesting because he's our highest-graded right tackle this season.
Wow.
And just one of the things, so a lot of people talk about the second-year jump, and that's, I didn't include a lot of second-year players on this list because it you expect a guy to progress like that. Darrell Williams isn't a second-year player, he's a third-year player, and only got into a starting role in his career because of injury in front of him. And so he was a guy who couldn't start over, you know, Michael Oher and Mike Remmers a season ago, not exactly world beaters at tackle, and now all of a sudden he's the best right tackle in the NFL. It's just interesting that from what our data has shown, the sort of learning curve at offensive tackle is much slower than almost any position in the NFL. Just guys, it takes a little while, a lot of the time, for guys to figure out that position and start to, you know, join the best of the best there.
All right, we are back. Let's finish this up. You have three more breakout guys, okay, correct?
Yeah, three more defenders, three defensive players here.
Okay.
One, DeMarcus Lawrence, who just came not out of nowhere. Last year, I think he had some injuries, had some stuff, wasn't great. The year before, his second year was pretty good, but I don't think he ever even, I think maybe he had one game where he flashed the sort of high-level potential that he's playing now. He has five games, where he has at least six pressures. He had one the first 3 years of his career. So he's a classic. I'd be worried if I'm going to give him a long-term contract this year, because you see guys like Olivier Vernon, these flash-in-the-pan edge rushers, they put it together for 1 year. I'd just be a little hesitant to give him, you know, $80 million. I'm not saying he's not going to be bad. You know, Olivier Vernon isn't bad right now, but you wouldn't give Olivier Vernon close to what he's making at this point. So the jury's out on if this is for real for Lawrence. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just gets a franchise tag.
Yeah, that seems perfect for him, actually, the franchise tag. Doesn't he have some off-the-field something or other, too? Or he had a back. He had a back was the problem.
He got suspended last year. Four games. Yeah.
And he's had injuries. But I think he wouldn't be my vote, but I think he's in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He's our third highest grade edge rusher this year, which is wild considering he was like average last year in terms of grading. So
do you happen to know who's ahead of him? I'm guessing Bosa and Jones, yes. Chandler Jones, maybe.
Cameron Jordan is actually
Cameron Jordan. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All
so
right.
Those two.
Two more defensive players you mentioned.
Yes. Tahir Whitehead, linebacker for the Detroit Lions. This was more because he was the lowest graded linebacker in the NFL
nowhere to
for
give
us
it up
a season ago, which is wild. He gave up 72 catches and 656 yards, which were both the most of any linebacker. Now he's kind of switched positions. He went from middle linebacker to weak side this year, and he's given up less than half as many catches this year and half as many yards. Big jump for him. And then, like, he had a good year 2 years ago. Another guy where you just had one of these terrible years where you don't know what happened to him. Heart difficult to explain. Maybe there were injuries, maybe there weren't. But, yeah, he's back to being one of the better linebackers in the league at this point.
Yeah, he always seemed like a kind of a run-and-hit guy, pretty good athlete. You would think the coverage would be his kind of a specialty.
Yeah, and
it wasn't.
No clue what happened. No clue what happened last year, but yeah, he's back to being one of the better pieces on that Lions defense now.
All right, wrap it up. Who's the last dude you got?
Last one, really interesting one because this is the sort of Sean McDermott specialty. Jordan Poyer goes from Cleveland, where he is sort of an afterthought at safety. No one really gave him was not really getting any offers in free agency. Goes to Buffalo and is now one of the highest graded safeties in the league. Now, Buffalo and Sean McDermott, the coverages they run, a little different than what he was asked to do in Cleveland. A lot of times he was a deep safety in Cleveland, a deep middle safety. That's not his game. I always thought he was in like an instinctual sort of hybrid corner safety coming out when he was. And I think that's what the role he's being used in Buffalo is a lot more similar to that. He's playing a lot of quarters, a lot of half field stuff, to where he can make breaks on routes instead of having to play that deep middle where you need a little bit more speed. He's never been that guy. So I think it's a lot better fit for him in terms of scheme-wise. And Sean McDermott's just the safety whisperer, it seems like.
Yeah, I remember when he came out of school, he was going to be a corner turned safety. And then, like you said, early in his career, it looked like maybe he was neither. And you would think because he's a former corner, he would have immediately, oh, he's got great range, he must be fast. But even as a corner, he was more of a positional guy, a smart player, and it sounds like that's the transition he's made, and he's finally found his niche.
Yeah, yes, five pass breakups is the second most among safeties this year. He's been much more of a playmaker than he didn't even have five pass breakups in his entire career in Cleveland. So it's been night and day for him.
So do you think the Bills need any more secondary help, or are you cool with what they have there?
I'm under the impression that every team in the NFL could use secondary help. Yeah, I think at the same time, I don't think they necessarily need to, you know, go out and spend money on it. Maybe draft capital, but I think where they are right now is fairly solid. I could see using another cornerback though there.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me. Mike, this was great. What is your Twitter handle again? I just want to let everyone know, and they should all be following you, of course.
PFF_Mike.
Awesome. This was a blast. We will do it again next week. Over and out, everyone, and please check out the Draft app.